We chant from verses 25 till the end of chapter 5.
Labante Brahma Nirvanam, Labante Brahma Nirvanam, Rishayakshina Kalmashaha,
Rishayakshina Kalmashaha,
Chinnadvaidaya Tatmanaha, Chinnadvaidaya Tatmanaha, Sarvabhuta Hite Rataha, Sarvabhuta Hite Rataha, Labante Brahma Nirvanam, Rishayakshina Kalmashaha, Chinnadvaidaya Tatmanaha, Sarvabhuta Hite Rataha, Kama Krodha Viyuktanam, Kama Krodha Viyuktanam, Yatinam Yata Chetasam, Yatinam Yata Chetasam, Abhito Brahma Nirvanam, Abhito Brahma Nirvanam, Vartate Viditatmanam, Vartate Viditatmanam, Kama Krodha Viyuktanam, Yatinam Yata Chetasam, Abhito Brahma Nirvanam, Vartate Viditatmanam, Sparshan Kritva Bahir Bhakyan, Sparshan Kritva Bahir Bhakyan, Chakshushchaivantare Bruvoho, Chakshushchaivantare Bruvoho, Pranapanau Samau Kritva, Pranapanau Samau Kritva, Nasabhyantara Charinau, Nasabhyantara Charinau, Sparshan Kritva Bahir Bhakyan, Chakshushchaivantare Bruvoho, Pranapanau Samau Kritva, Nasabhyantara Charinau, Yatendriyamano Buddhihi, Yatendriyamano Buddhihi, Munirmoksha Parayanaha, Munirmoksha Parayanaha, Vigate Chapaya Krodaha, Vigate Chapaya Krodaha, Yasada Bhukta Eva Saha, Yasada Bhukta Eva Saha, Yatendriyamano Buddhihi, Munirmoksha Parayanaha, Vigate Chapaya Krodaha, Yasada Bhukta Eva Saha, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Sukhrutam Sarva Bhutanam, Sukhrutam Sarva Bhutanam, Nyatvamam Shanti Vrichyate, Nyatvamam Shanti Vrichyate, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Sukhrutam Sarva Bhutanam, Nyatvamam Shanti Vrichyate. Generally, in every human being, the energy flow is outward. Extrovertedly, our mind is taking us towards the sense objects. And when the thoughts that flow from us to the world outside, which is called as desire, the indiscriminate thought flow towards the sense object is called desire. And then, in the hope of finding happiness, we are sending our thoughts towards the external objects. And when we find the object, we are not getting it, and we think by getting support, we may find that happiness. Thus, the thoughts are running outward. Spiritual journey is changing the direction inwards. General flow is outward. Spiritual journey is changing that direction inward. All that we are supposed to do is change it inward. That is yoga. Bhoga is when your thoughts are running outward. Yoga is when your thoughts are running inward. Not necessarily when you are contacting the world outside, you are in bhoga. You may be contacting the world outside, but your thoughts are not running extrovertedly, then you are still a yogi. You may not be contacting the world outside, you may be seated, but your thoughts, at the thought level, you are running outward. You are still a bhogi. So bhoga and yoga, you don't misunderstand it as external contact or not contact. Bhoga means when your thoughts are rushing towards the world outside. Spirituality is how to make the thoughts run inward. Because like Dr. Shabana says, it is difficult to find happiness within, but it is impossible to find it elsewhere. And everybody, in fact, universally, we all have only one goal, and that is to find happiness or independence. The sukham of freedom, that's what we want. And Vedanta says that is because your original nature is freedom, independence, happiness, and that is within you. Anything that can come from external contact is only sorrow.
Attempt.
Dukkha yonayaha. Yoni means source. So what, when you run outwardly towards the external object, attaining that object you think you will find happiness, but after attaining you only get dukkham. Because outside, from outside, sukham cannot come, because sukham is something within you, which is your original state. And having understood that, when you go within, you become happy. So in 24, he said that yogi who is happy within, who is rejoicing within and illumined within, he is not contacting the world for happiness, he is contacting the world out of happiness. Such a person is a rishihi, sage. And the sage, having attained the bliss of Brahman, his sins have been completely removed. All his vasanas have been completely removed. There are no impressions left inside. His dualities are destroyed. All his doubts, the dualities have been completely destroyed. There is only Atma that he sees. He is totally self-controlled. His senses listen to him. He is not being controlled by the senses. In our case, like I said, very often we need to think whether we are doing. Actually, it is our desires making us do. We are all slaves of our desires. In fact, we are not even there. Therefore, we almost predict how everyone will function. If the desire is brought in front of him or her, the way he or she will behave can be predicted. Because he is not there. Spirituality is not for weak people, it is only for strong. Firstly, you need to be there. You need to be able to direct your mind. Unless you tell go, it will not go. Firstly, in the worldly sense, are you able to direct your mind? Or are you being drawn by your mind? We are all, even in the worldly level, drawn by the mind. Like you take the dog for a walk, it is as though dog is taking you for a walk, rather than taking the dog for a walk. Exactly like that, mind is taking you for a walk in the world, rather than you taking the mind for a walk in the world. So, for those who are freed from desire and anger, this person worships, functions in the world for the welfare of the entire universe, because his self has expanded. You become the Atma. By going deeper, yourself expands. expand. You identify with one at all, you rise above anger and desire. Kama Kroga Vyuktana. It becomes free from Kama and Kroga. Kama is what? Remember this. Kama is thoughts moving outward. Rama is thoughts moving inward. Dara is thoughts moving outward. Radha is thoughts moving inward. So this desire and anger conquered. He is self-controlled, his mind is totally subdued, he is within the self, his Brahman resides in them, within, meaning a Jivan Mukta attains Brahman, meaning he realizes that his original nature is Brahman. Now how many other times we listen this from the scripture? We don't develop that condition. What do the scriptures say? You are not this finite individual that you think yourself to be. You are that infinite truth. That infinity is God. So your original nature is divinity, Godhead. And God alone is real. This world is not real. Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya. But all this we may be studying. Since we do not do proper reflection, we have not formed conviction. This is not our conviction. We don't think that we are infinite. We always believe that we are finite. And for us to think that our original nature is divinity sounds blasphemous. So outwardly we read, but inwardly the convictions have not been formed. So in the case of a jnani, in the case of a rishi, he is become one with Brahman, meaning he realizes that he has always been Brahman, he has never been limited, he is an unlimited, infinite, pure consciousness. And this state he retains even after death. Jivan Mukta as well as Videha Mukta. Videha Mukta means after death also he retains the state, it is not. Now in 27 and 28 he introduces meditation, which he elaborates in detail in the next chapter. Next chapter is full of, it's in fact named as what? Dhyana Yoga, which is nothing but Yoga of Meditation. Now this meditation is being recommended here for what? To make that knowledge become established in you. Also to develop Sankalpa Shakti. Because if you have to go beyond anger and desire when it is intercepted, you get anger. So how did we discuss last week that one can go beyond desire and anger? What was the first thing we said last week? We want to say, first you accept that the desire and anger is within me. Because what happens is, like in a well, in the well there is water. You put the bucket inside and draw the water, and when you draw the water, only a bucket full of water you get. Similarly, there is this flow, this desire, anger, energy inside you. When a circumstance comes, when somebody interrupts the thought flow, then you get angry. So you think the anger is outside, not inside. And once it has come and gone, it's all over. It's not like that. And again in a new situation, that situation or person is bringing the anger. No, anger and desire are within me. I must first accept. Unless I accept that I have got an habit, I've got this problem, there is no way that I can rise above that problem. If I deny, I don't understand that it is within me. What I will do is, I will try to avoid such situations. Situation only made me what?
Manifest
the anger. But anger is within me. It's not outside, so I need to work inside. So once I accept, then what do I have to do? accepting the fault lies within me. What is it?
Understand why it is there. Try to understand.
See what happens when you get angry.
See what happens when you get angry. You need to be watchful.
What?
What it does to you. And once you have seen it, it in its entirety, you will understand what it is. Rather than having a negative idea about anger, you will start understanding that it is nothing but energy which can be directed. But for directing, you have to be there. Are you with me? If the anger is there, it could be looked at something detrimental, or it could be looked at some potential which can be properly used for liberation. Repeat. When the energy flow is towards the world, it is dissipation of energy. When the energy flow is towards divinity within, it is directing the energy. So it is there, it's good, but it needs to be directed. So anger is not something bad. It can be used positively. I gave you the example of somebody who was bullied, who used that energy and he made a movie of bullying. You know, he used that energy, directed it, and he made it creative. It's possible. But what are we doing? We are dissipating. So, why are we dissipating? We are weak. The energy takes over. It just takes over and it finishes up. In little portions, it gets dissipated. So therefore, the energy needs to be conserved and directed. And to conserve and direct, you need to establish yourself. You need to develop sankalpa shakti. And when you do that, then you are able to make this knowledge establish itself in you. For the knowledge to get established in your subconscious, this vritti should be there, not the vritti of the object. If the vrittis of objects are there, then your mind will naturally tend to go outside. So you need to therefore use meditation for this achievement. So he talks about meditation in the next one.
No, one minute, yeah. Swamiji. This last thing, can you re-explain that? The vritti of
see, inside is all desires, values of the world. Outside you are studying Bhagavad Gita. But you go about functioning in the same way as you were functioning before. Why? Because in your subconscious, the conviction, the values, the habits are all about the world. Therefore, you will be studying Gita, you will be studying all the things, but you will be functioning this way. Because inside subconscious habits have been formed. You need to now change it. And who can change? You can only change. I can't change it for you. For you to change it, you need to be present. You need to extricate yourself. First you have to develop that sankalpa shakti, willpower. And then you will need to put these thoughts inside your subconscious, removing the worldly thoughts. Are you with me? Somebody needs to direct, the bowler is bowling. I have to watch the ball and then direct the ball to the boundary or for a run. But if I am lost, if I am somewhere, the ball is going to find the wicket or my head or my body. You understand? Or it will go away without scoring run on it. Or if it's a ball that deserves to be left alone without touching, then I should do it rather than it happens by itself. Are you with me? So therefore, I need to be watchful of the bowler's and the delivery, the, where the ball pitches, etc., then I need to direct it. So that is why I said in the last lesson, I concluded, spirituality is not for weak person. In fact, we say, you are effort and God's grace. But who will attract God's grace? Only a strong person will attract God's grace. Strong person meaning he will put in his efforts and his efforts will receive God's grace. And with God's grace and his efforts, he will overcome it. Therefore, you need to first establish your sankalpa shakti and work within. Remove the old habits, form the new habit. Old habit is unconsciously it has been made to go towards the objects. Now you are consciously developing a new habit. What is it? To make it go towards happiness. And when it is established and it is sitting with Atma, you become a Rishi. Rishi is not one who is having a long beard or wearing upper robe per se. Really, mean? Rishi means one who knows his Atma Tattva, one who has become one with his original self. And how did he do it? With his own efforts. That is why he has always said Yatatma, means one who puts in that effort. Effort of what? Directing it. So in that direction he is explaining meditation. In the next two verses, 27 and 28. Sparshan kritva bahir bahyan, sparshan kritva bahir bahyan, chakshushchaivantare bruhoho, pranapanau samau kritva, nasabhyantaracharinau, sparshan kritva bahir bahyan, चक्षुश्चैवान्तरे ब्रुवोः प्राणापानौ समौ कृत्वा नासाभ्यन्तरचारिणौ यतेन्द्रियमनोबुद्धिः मुनिर्मोक्षपरायणः विगतेच्चापयक्रोधः यः सदा मुक्त एव सः यस्तदा मुक्त एव सः यतेन्द्रियमनोबुद्धिः मुनिर्मोक्षपरायणः विगतेच्चापयक्रोधः यस्तदा मुक्त एव सः. In detail you will talk about it in the next chapter. Now he is just introducing it a little bit here. Sparshan kritva bahir bahyan chakshur pantare bruhoho. Shutting out external contacts. Shutting out external contacts and fixing the gaze as though between the eyebrows. He is talking about Ajna Chakra. Between the two eyebrows is what the yoga says, you have Ajna Chakra. Ajna means what? The third chapter also Krishna says this is my Ajna. You can take it as my Ajna also. Means command. Right? Ajna means?
Command.
Will. Power. By focusing on the chakra gets activated. And as a result of which, you will develop command. Sankalpa Shakti. Okay? So he says, shutting out external contact and fixing the gaze as though between the eyebrows. equalizing the flow of incoming and outgoing breath in the nostrils. Prana panau samau kritva. You have to do this after or along with equalizing the flow of breath going in and going out. Dasabhyantara charika, the flow of breath inside your nostrils. Yatendriya mano buddhihi, having the senses, mind and intellect controlled. Yata indriya mano buddhi, indriya mana and buddhi all controlled, and sitting with what purpose? As with purpose of liberation as the goal. Munir moksha parayanaha. Para means supreme, higher, right? Moksha as my goal, not to attain something in the world, but to attain something which is the highest, that is moksha, liberation as a goal. The sage, free from kama, krodha and fear, which is bhaya, vigatecha, iccha, bhaya, krodha, right? Ya sada mukta eva saha, is verily liberated forever. Now, you have senses, right? You have five senses. Science says there are more senses. Some say six, some say seven, some say there are more. The five senses we commonly know, what are they?
Taste,
eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. Okay. These are the five senses. Through the eyes, you see the color and form. Through the nose, smell. Through the tongue, taste. Through the skin, touch. Through the ear,
yeah,
sound. Science says there is something called as proprioception. What is proprioception? The perception of the end of your body. Is another perception. For example, if you close your eyes and if I tell you keep the finger exactly in front of the nose, just little away from it, don't touch it, then if you open your mouth, it will be, if you open your eyes, you will find that it is exactly there, because you inwardly know where your body ends. This is also one kind of perception. What they call is proprioception. Proprioception. There is another one called as interoception. Interoception is there is something painting inside your body. Somehow. Here, there, something. You come to know that. Are you with me? That kind of things are called as interoception. The liquid inside your ears is helping you to maintain the balance because it is perceiving where you are standing and it's maintaining the balance. If somebody slaps you hard on your ears and you fall down, the liquid inside is disturbed, then your interoception is disturbed. You're not able to stand. Similarly, when you are going in very low down, the liquid is disturbed, your perception is disturbed, so you do not know, you are not able to stand for a while properly. Right? So, this is called interoception. There are, like this, many sense organs which is used for perceiving the world outside. Okay? But, for example, you may be seeing me now, but your mind is preoccupied with something. Say somebody, for chasing you with a gun. And to save yourself, you were running on the road. And while you are running on the road, I was coming in front of you. And we knew each other. You saw me. I saw you directly. You saw me also. And yet, when I was waving and saying hi, you did not say hi, you did not see me actually. Why?
Your preoccupation is to
save your life. Your mind's attention is not there in that particular sense organ. Therefore, that particular sense organ is not activated. Are you with me? Your mind's perception, mind's attention is not on that particular sense organ, as a result of which that sense organ is not activated. So when you send your attention towards the sense organ, that sense organ is activated. Are you with me? So that's why we say for you to register a perception, the mind should be there, focused. Are you with me? Similarly, in our chronic body, there are various chakras, which is yoga science talks about. And by focusing on the respective chakras, that chakra gets activated. Now this science, please do not practice without properly learning it from the master. Right? Without properly learning it from the master. Because once you start activating certain chakras, then you will have to go through the consequences of it. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it may be. Are you with me?
Right, I can see that.
No, there are certain things that happen with reference to that particular chakra. For example, generally I'm just giving general explanation because you asked. There are seven chakras that generally we talk about. There are many more chakras which we don't talk about. But seven chakras which we generally talk about. Some say there are only six chakras, the seventh one is not a chakra, sahasrara. Whatever way you may look at it. Mooladhara, Swadhisthana, Manipura, Anahata, Vishuddhi, Ajna and Chakra. Right? Mooladhara Chakra, which is there at the tip of your spinal cord. That is called Mooladhara. That is associated with basic survival. Understand? Food. Money, etc. Then Swadhisthana. Swadhisthana is associated with pleasure, sexuality, etc. Little above the Mooladhara Chakra is Swadhisthana. They say about 1 inch, 2 inch below the navel. Then Manipura, the navel chakra. Navel chakra is associated with self-confidence, esteem, etc. Then Anahata, the heart chakra. Above the Manipura chakra, if you come, there is this heart chakra, which is associated with joy, emotional well-being, etc. Love, all that. Then you come upward, you come to the throat chakra, which is the Vishuddhi. Vishuddhi is associated with communication, expression, right? Then Ajna Chakra, which is associated with wisdom, clarity, knowledge, willpower, sankalpa shakti, etc. Then Visarakara, the centralization chakra, thousand petal lotus. Are you with me? So there are different meditations spoken in the various traditions. Here Lord Krishna is only talking about focusing on the anahata, Ajna chakra. Ajna, I told you, one of the meanings of Ajna is command. By focusing on that, you make the chakra activated. Like how before the sunrise, the petals of the flower is pointed downwards. When the sun rises, the petals pointed upwards. Similarly, they say this prana chakra gets activated and then the energy starts flowing in that direction. What do you mean? And this is a science that has to be learned properly with a lot of other discipline. Without that, if you do, then sudden thoughts that you may have without purification, then those things may get activated, then you will have to go through the consequences. So Krishna is now talking about gaining control over anger, desire. Also he is talking to a kshatriya. For a kshatriya, gaining command over is very important. Right. So for such people who have such nature, the meditation technique of focusing on the Ajna chakra is recommended. But if you happen to be of the nature, not of the commanding nature, but more of passive, accepting nature, then some of the meditation techniques talk about focusing on the Anahata chakra, etc. Right. So it is not as if he is telling you to focus here. He is just trying to tell you that you develop Sankalpa Shakti. Firstly, you should be there in everything that you do. That is why one of the things that they say in Vedanta is, okay, now you are doing certain things mechanically. You may not have got total control over it. But at least now you say, okay, I am not having total control over it and I will now go through those things consciously. I'm not choosing as to when to go through because the desire is so powerful. So I may go through now, but I am going through them consciously. Then there will come a time when I will say, when I want to go through it, I'll allow it to go through. Not when it wants me to go through. But now when it wants me to go through, I'm going through also, but I'm not even aware of it. So better than that is this. Yes. Then slowly, slowly your Sankalpa Shakti increases. Then you can tell when you will want to go through that, then it will want to go through. Then it will cooperate with you to focus the mind. Right? See, for example, you are sitting down to study. When you sit down to study, till then your mind was going here and there, and you sat down to study, and the mind is going here and there, now it's not focusing. Now what do? You tell the mind, focus, it is not focusing. They say, okay, allow it to go around. You consciously stay backward, back, behind the mind, and watch it going here and there, then it will come back. Then there will come a time when you will say, now you go, then it will go. With me. This is how you are developing control over your mind. So here, he says, focusing in that gaze, gazing over the Ajna chakra in between the two eyebrows. But along with that, he puts one more condition. What is it? Prana panam samam kritva. Having controlled the flow of breath. Breath and mind has connection. When your mind is disturbed, breathing is disturbed. Right? Your breathing becomes very shallow. When your mind is relaxed, your breathing becomes deep. Mind and breath are interconnected. So using the breath, you can control your mind, the thoughts basically. So therefore he emphasizes on the prana and apana.
Vayu. Prana apana control means what? When we breathe in, the breath is going in and then it is turning and going out. And then it is turning and going in. So in this, if you carefully observe, you are not even observing, you are not even knowing it. You only know incoming, incoming and outgoing breath. Incoming breath goes so deep and at one point it is turning. And then it is becoming outgoing breath. In between these two, there is a balance layer. Similarly, the breath goes outside and then it comes inside, and in between there is a time when it is balanced. That is me. But we are so disturbed mentally and we are breathing so fast and shallow that we don't experience that at all. You and me, you don't experience that at all. But when you bring your mind to that balance, when a child is in the womb, the breath is balanced level. It doesn't have to breathe to live. Right? But when the child comes out, now it has to start breathing. And that is what they say, when the child is born, as soon as it is born, these channels are opened and the child is crying, which was not opened all this while, it's opened and breath starts flowing. Now the child is crying as a result of it. So if the child doesn't cry, then you get worried. Because these channels have to be opened. So breath and mind are always interconnected. So by controlling your prana and apana, the incoming and outgoing breath, and focusing in between the eyebrows and opening up the chakra and developing sankalpa shakti, the mind starts flowing inward slowly. Other way you have to understand this is, instead of going into this too much of yogic techniques and all that is trying to tell you is, looking in between the eyes, meaning when you open your eyes fully, what happens? Your attention is going through your eyes towards the world outside. You are dissipating the energy. Now you conserve the energy and redirect it. In what? In focusing on your study. So firstly make sure your preoccupations are all taken care of. That's why they say, if you want to come to spiritual study, first get rid of all your preoccupations, then the spiritual study will become more meaningful. Preoccupations are also going on, this is also going on, along with it, it will not help. Simple thing, for example, if you keep your phones next to you when you are studying, you might have put it in silent mode, but nowadays, you know, when some message comes or some phone comes up, the blinking is going on, some light blinking. It is distracting you. So do away with all your preoccupations. Then sit down, developing that focus. Then with that sankalpa shakti, you can direct the kama energy, the krodha energy inward. See, remember, mind is nothing but movement. This has to move, and when it is not allowed to move externally, it will start moving inward. Rumi. So you, by doing this experiment, by doing this exercise, allowing the flow inward, then slowly, slowly, your mind gets established there through abhyasa. And when it gets established there, what happens? You become totally free from desire. Why? Because when your breath is balanced, when your
focus is on the Agni Chakra and your energy starts flowing inward, you start experiencing
Sukha. And when you start experiencing Sukha, you know that is real Sukham and that is where the Sukham originates from, that is where Sukham is. There is no Sukham in the outside world. Once that has become clear, there is no way your thoughts are going to go outside.
And you become free from desire, anger and fear. What is the fear that you have today?
Or that you lose what you have. It's the fear that either your desire won't be fulfilled or you lose what you have.
Why is that giving you fear, what you have if you lose?
Because you feel that that gives you happiness.
So
it's an
mind is in that, and those things only all the time. That it should be.
You're dependent on those external objects. So you're scared you lose it.
You think happiness is outward.
What is the greatest fear that one has?
Death.
Right. And he says you will overcome that fear. Why? Because you will understand that your original nature is that Sukham and not that which is coming through the body, mind and intellect, which are your possessions. Therefore, whether losing or gaining will make no difference to you. Once you have reached that state, thereafter there is no more fear. As long as your identification is there with the body, there will be fear. Are you with me? The moment you understand that you are not the body, you are Atma, thereafter there is no more fear. You become absolutely free from fear. Any amount of other things that you do, your fear will continue. Logically, you reason out, you think, all that you do, but you have not disassociated yourself from the body. As long as you are not disassociated from this body, this embodiment, there is going to be fear. Oh, this body will be taken away. And if these things are taken away, then this body will be left with nothing. You understand? So if in your inside you have developed this conviction as a result of your experience of the self within, you will have no fear, no anger, no desire. When we say this, what does it mean? It means the person who has gone beyond this is now capable of using this. You are not giving ajna to your senses. Your senses are giving ajna to you today. Isn't that what is happening? That's why I said, dog is taking you for a walk rather than you taking dog for a walk. So your senses are giving ajna to you. So now this person is able to give ajna to the senses. So that is why you find certain rishis sometimes direct their energy, anger, but they are not really angry. So we say he is using his temper, he is not losing his temper. It is very easily said that using temper and all these words.
How do you differentiate between using the temper and losing the temper?
Losing the temper means there is no consciousness, there is no awareness, nothing. Using means there is total awareness, you are directing it. You don't justify your anger. There was a reason, hence you directed it. Now what is happening is, there was no reason for you to have behaved the way you behaved. Now you behaved it. Then what do? You collect some
justifications
for it. Like they say, it's all very easy to talk. You come and live in my house, then you let us see. What are they doing? In such situations, this is how one has to
behave, therefore I am behaving like this. Try in such situations, if you are able to tell your mind, okay, you may have reasons to behave, but now I am telling you, keep quiet. Let us see if it keeps quiet. Then you are not justifying, then you are controlling your anger. Always remember, in every action that we do, up to a point we are in control. After that, we reach a point of no return. We will be functioning that way. Are you with me? There should be no point where you are not able to return. That means you are going there all along. You do it and you come back. And then secondly, there will be no regret. Whenever you lost your temper, what happens? There will be regret later on. I wish I did not shout like that. I wish I did not behave that way. Because you have destroyed many things. Destroyed your reputation. You destroyed many things in the body. Your relationships. Your hard-earned money. Etc. etc. So therefore, awareness will be there. Regrets will not be there. And what else? You will be able to move to the next experience as if nothing happened. These are the ways in which you can know whether you are using your temper or losing it. When you have lost your temper, what happens? You tell your secretary, please don't connect any calls to me now for the next 2-3 hours, a few days, a few months, a few years, a few janmas, I don't know how long. What has happened? You were not using the temper, you were
losing
it. If you were using it, you would have used it and moved to the next experience. If you were using your Kama Shakti, you would have used it and moved on. You understand? But you won't get stuck. This is what you will find in our Puranas also. In the Mahabharata also, when sage Vyas was brought in for the sake of progeny of the Kauravas, you understand? He is using the Kama Shakti. Who can use the Kama Shakti? Only one was born?
Beyond
it. Are you with me? One who has not come beyond it, he is not using it. He is dissipating it. Are you with me? So he moves on. This is what the story is trying to tell us. Durvasa uses his anger, he moves on. That is why I say stagnation is sin. You should be able to move ahead. So when you are using your anger or desire or anything, that means there will be no, first of all there will be total awareness. There will be no regrets and you will be able to move to the next experience as if nothing happened. Now is that what happens in our mind?
We are stuck in that.
You will go through them and that impressions have formed and you will be stuck in that. So that is why you are telling your secretary, please don't connect me to anybody for the next few hours. Because I am not able to be myself. So he says, such a person is able to use his desire, anger, everything. And he is very liberated forever. Forever liberated means it never ever touches. Is totally free. Next verse.
Bhoktaram yajna tapasam भोक्तारं यज्ञतपसां सर्वलोकमहेश्वरं सर्वलोकमहेश्वरं सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिं पृच्छति ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिं पृच्छति भोक्तारं यज्ञतपसां सर्वलोकमहेश्वरं सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिं पृच्छति. Having known me as the enjoyer of sacrifices and austerities, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Yajna, tapas, the enjoy of yajna, the sacrificial action, and tapas, the austerity. The Supreme Lord of all worlds, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Loka means worlds, Supreme Lord of all worlds, all experiences. World also means experiences. And what? Suradam Sarva Bhutanam, friend of all beings. Who is a friend?
Your
friend. The God. Whom do you call as friend?
Your well-wisher.
Well-wisher, okay.
So the Lord is your friend here, right? You're talking about.
So why is it, why the Lord is called as Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam?
Because he's a friend of all beings.
Why is he called as friend of all beings?
He wants you to.
Everyone in God is God, so everyone.
A friend is one who is non judgmentally supporting you, who accepts both your
good and bad.
Good and bad. You understand? Similarly, he is one who is seated in your heart, in the core, and supporting all your endeavors, without whom you cannot go through any experience. But he is not having any partiality to you. Suhrudam Sarva Bhutanam. Jnatva Mam Shanti Prachati. Having known, he attains this peace. He attains the peace. Having known me as the enjoyer of everything. Actually everything is being done for the sake of the self. Everything that is not done is also for the sake of self. The entire worship, everything is for the Lord. Why are you doing something? For the self. Why are you not doing something? It is for the self. Yet you continue not knowing what the self is. You continue with your imagined identity of self. But the true self is all blissful, which is known through yajna and tapas. And those who practice yajna and tapas, they are the ones who attain the true self, and they are the ones who are truly enjoying. Others are not truly going through any enjoyment. So bhoktaram yajna tapasam, the Supreme Lord of all worlds, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Ishwara means Lord. Sarva Loka, Loka means experiences, all experiences, the Lord of all experiences. Who is the Lord of all experiences? You go through joy, you go through sorrow. You know that you are going through joy, you know that you are going through sorrow. The knower of joy, the knower of sorrow, is actually the Ishwara. The true knower within, seated as Sakshi, seated as a witness is the Lord of all beings. So he slowly detaches himself from the experiences and identifies the Lordship within. See, first of all, when you need courage to say that word me, the way Lord Krishna is using it. On one hand, Lord Krishna is saying, I am Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Suhrdam Sarvabhutanam. On the other hand, he is accepted to be the charioteer of Arjuna. This is showing that when he says, I am that Lord, you will reach that state where you will be able to say the same way he says, that I am that Lord, which means you are not using the word I, which is used to differentiate from you. He is using the word I not to differentiate himself from you. When he uses the word I, that I is including you. Please understand. When we commonly use this word I and me, it is to differentiate me from you. That is why you see in the translation of the book, when the word me is used, Swamiji would have put me with capital M. We use it with small m, which means I am different, you are different. You will get a totally different perception. Your whole thing changes. You continue to exist in the same body, same mind, same intellect, but your perception is changed. Now you are not viewing anything from the body, mind and intellect point of view. You start viewing everything from the point of view of the Atma. Today when you go through pain, you have become the pain body. Now when you are doing the jnana, you disassociate yourself from that pain. That is why they said some Mahatmas like Ramana Maharishi and all, they had gone through serious operations without any anesthesia. You know, when people go through operations with anesthesia, they won't know anything what is happening to them and whatever, you know, has been done to their body, and they come out of the operation, they come out of the anesthesia after a few hours, they say they are going through excruciating pain and they are given painkillers. Imagine if they were not given anesthesia, what amount of pain they would have been going through when the doctor is doing the operation. And here are some sages like Swami Ramana Maharishi who had gone through serious operations without any anesthesia. How is this possible? It is only possible when there is total disassociation with the body. So this is what he is saying, I am the Lord of all experiences. So the pain experience, I am the Lord. The pleasure experience, I am the Lord. I distance myself from the pain and pleasure. In fact, the way you rise above anything is when you become watchful. By watching it, you rise above. By facing it, you rise above. By not facing it, by not watching it, you don't rise above. You succumb to it. That is why in our shastras they say, you must stand up and face the challenges. You can't afford to not face them. But just don't be less prepared when you face. Learn to face. No doubt, there is no doubt as to whether you should face them or not. You must face them, but you should know how to face them. Otherwise, you think you will face them and you will go, and what will happen is, over a period of time, you would have been bought over by the object. Like Vali in Ramayana. Vali, when you go in front of him, he had a bow. What was that?
It is half your strength.
he gets half your strength. He will become the chairman. Even if he had 1% share, 50% will go to him and he will become 51%. He will become the chairman. So you have to prepare, hide behind the tree, hide behind shastras. Learn from the guru. This is why I told you those techniques also don't follow without learning from the guru. Because you think, I will face my desire. And you go in front of the object of your desire, what has happened?
You have been pulverized by Vali. You know, many times Sugriva goes, he is pulverized by Vali. Like that, don't go without learning. So face your desires after going through the scriptures, preparing yourself to face your desires. And by facing them, you will be phasing out them. Slowly, slowly. You will rise above your desires. So the way to jump beyond is by becoming watchful. And scriptural study helps you to become watchful,
mindful. There is no other way. But without getting prepared, if you think, that is why they talk about dharma prepares you. By going through proper dharma, and you raise artha and kama, you rise above artha and kama.
Then you will attain moksha. So first you need to be established in dharma, the values.
So when the child is born and when the child is initiated into brahmacharya ashrama, the child is not given any duty other than imbibing those dharmas.
Because then when the child from brahmacharya ashrama goes to grihastha ashrama, brahma dharma,
the child goes through
artha and kama with dharma.
It's facing. Prepare and face. Practice and face. Are you with me? Practice in the morning, then go to the match. Practice a few days and then go to the match. So prepare through brahmacharya ashrama, through studying, reflecting, and then facing in grihastha ashrama, karma yoga.
Then over a period of time what happens? Your mind detaches. You become more of a what? Vanaprastha. You are there and yet your mind is not going into the world. It started going inward.
Then you come to the last stage, which is sannyasa ashrama. Sannyasa ashrama is where your mind is going inward only. Thereafter it really doesn't matter whether you are sitting outside or inward. Then you are going to deeper meditation and realizing the self. So for brahmacharya and sannyasi, there are no duties. So he says, I am me. No me.
Having known me means having known that the real self is the real enjoy. Real bliss resides there. And that is reached through yajna and tapas.
And attaining that state of witnessing, you become the Supreme Lord.
Then a person who has reached that awareness will be a friend of all beings. Thereafter he cannot hurt any being. Because he and other beings are not different. He is the same as the other.
Would you drive a nail into your left leg? Because you know that left leg and right leg is both mine. Is me. So once you know, then you will only be a friend of all beings. He attains peace. He has reached his original state. Thus this fifth chapter comes to an end. Om Tatsat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambhade Karma Sanyasa Yogo Nama Panchamodhyaya. Om, that is real. Thus in the Upanishads of the glorious Bhagavad Gita,
the signs of the eternal, the scripture of yoga, the dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna, ends the fifth chapter entitled The Yoga of Renunciation of Action. The chapter has ended, but our study has not ended, because it is now hopefully only filled the conscious mind. And for it to fill our subconscious mind, what do you have to do? You have to do manan daily. So to remind ourselves that we have not really concluded the chapter, but we have just started, just begun. We follow the tradition of chanting verse number 1 together. Verse number 1 of chapter 5. Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna uvacha, sanyasam karmanam Krishna,
sanyasam karmanam Krishna,
punaryogam cha samshati, punaryogam cha samshati, yashreya etayorekam, yashreya etayorekam, tanme bruhi sunishchitam, tanme bruhi sunishchitam. Arjuna uvacha, sanyasam karmanam Krishna, punaryogam cha samshati, yashreya etayorekam, tanme bruhi sunishchitam. सकलं परस्मै नारायणायै समर्पयामि, नारायणायै समर्पयामि। हरि ओम।